Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and welcome to the conversation. Today on the program, about 10 hours ago, we had learned that James Brian Helwig, a.k.a. the Ultimate Warrior, is dead at age 54. The conversation begins right now.
Taken in the flight, now we're so good. If it's for the first time, I will be. You said it would be this way.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Kind of think of that as you're going through your day today, and welcome to the program. As I alluded to at the beginning of the show, we found out about 10 hours ago that James Brian Helwig, a.k.a. the Ultimate Warrior, died at 45. And I was a huge wrestling fan growing up, when it was wrestling. You know, you look at some of the interviews they have now with, like, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, and Ricky Morton will tell you, they don't wrestle anymore. It's, you know, someone like, if you take someone like Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, they don't, 10,000 pound, pure muscle, when Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson wrestled, they didn't weigh 300 pounds, you know, they weighed 200 maybe, and you had to wrestle. You had to know what you were doing, you know. And he was on, he just got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he was on Raw on Monday. And when he was there, I like to watch now, just like when, like, they talk about, okay, well, they're going to have the induction ceremony, and they're going to induct, like, the Big Boss Man, who's since dead, or, you know, some of these old wrestlers that I grew up with. Iron Sheik's going to be inducted or whatever. I like watching it for the nostalgic, not for the now, but for the things, for, like, the people back then. And when he was on Raw, he looked, I swear it looked like he was having to catch his breath, like something was not right. And I'm like, something doesn't, 2 and 2 ain't equal 4. But, you know, it's just, I mean, that industry is very, look at how many wrestlers have died. It's scary how many are not alive. And I always used to think, okay, they did Monday Night Raw, they did, you know, a Thursday thing and something on Saturday, and that was it. And there's like probably one day a week that they're not wrestling, that they're not in some venue doing something. And it's a hard life. It wasn't in my program originally, but when I found out he died, I had to talk about it, had to vent about it, because it's just, when's there going to be change? When are we going to get, you know, you can't live off of, I guess I go back to the deadliest catch. You can't live off of cigarettes and energy drinks and live a long time. But you watch that deadliest catch show when Phil was on there, that's all they do. They're up for like 3 days straight on energy drinks and cigarettes. And you wonder why they don't live that long. But it's just tragic. I mean, I feel for his family and his two daughters. And I also want to, as I move on now, I want to give a shout-out to my girl Melissa, who's at a funeral right now for her pastor's wife that died. And it's just, If my audience can send their prayers and thoughts out to my girl Melissa, that'd mean the world to us, because it's been a rough time. And I want to get into what I have planned on talking about today, which is unity of the nation and coming together. Because I have a lot of liberal friends, and we still have a lot of commonalities. A lady Linda that I'm really good friends with, and Heather. We disagree politically, but when it comes to, like, GMOs, when it comes to, you know, they're finding now that a lot of women are having breast milk, stuff like breast milk, you know, chemicals in their breast milk. And of course, my phone's ringing. Got to love the studio when the phone rings. But when you look at a situation like they're finding out the stuff, what is it? I'm trying to think of the name of the company, but there is a pesticide company, Roundup, that they're finding a lot in women's breast milk. And, you know, it's scary what they're finding in women's breast milk, just from the natural environment. And so we have commonalities on many levels. It's just completely way off. Way off. But I always, but like when I put that thing where it said, you know, you got homeless vets sleeping in cardboard boxes and you got a Muslim in the White House. Is Barack Obama a Muslim? He's not a Christian, I know that much. Because he believes and went to a church that celebrates liberation theology. And liberation theology is basically socialism in a Bible. And don't take my word for it. That is coming from a master theologian who has a theology degree and studied liberation theology. As a Catholic or a Christian, whether it's Baptist or Methodist, you don't talk about collective salvation. It's individual salvation. You know, Barack Obama's mom was white. His dad was black. He's half white. Proper narration like Tiger Woods. You know, if you've ever seen the movie Barbershop, Tiger Woods, we claim him. You know, we could technically, as a white person, claim Barack Obama. So this claim that I'm racist because I hate Obama, that there is racism in this world, don't get me wrong, but we're not racist because we disagree with Obama. But you can always find common ground because we all want the same thing. We all want the same result. And I said that I went to this one lady one time. I said, okay, well, so what do you think about all these people that are having to put their shirts and turn them inside out because it's got an American flag and it says made in the USA, or it's got an American flag and it says born in the USA, 100% American on it, and they have to turn it inside out because they might offend a Muslim? There's tons of stories out there, and they happen all the time. Like I talked about the Easter egg hunt. I'd be scared if someone said, oh, yeah, I support that. You should turn your shirt inside out. Well, then, if someone's going to be offended by America or an American flag or something, they should not be living here. I'm sorry. Case closed. Court adjourned. I'm not going to go to France and, well, you need to take down that French flag. You're offending me. Excuse me. I went to try to get my driver's license. And you guys don't speak English, and excuse moi, monsieur? Je parle français? Je ne comprends pas? You know, I'm not going to go to Germany and bitch and complain that no one there speaks English. Sorry, if I go to their DMV, I'm going to want to learn German. I wouldn't drive a car in France until I was way more fluent in French than I am. Not that I'm not. Don't know a lot of language, but until I'm really fluent and I know all the rules of the road, all the laws, I'm not going to do it. But you can look in the newspaper and I'll have a car dealership with Si Habla Español underneath it saying that one of these or several of these people that sell cars speak Spanish. So let me get this straight. You don't know enough English to buy a car, so you have to buy a car with someone in Spanish, but you're still able to drive a car. I don't get it. I don't get it. If they can drive, that's, you know, I wouldn't drive in France until I really knew the laws and really knew the language 100%. But that's just me. I mean, but we need to come together as a nation. And what brings us together? Not what separates us. We need to unite. And almost every time I get into an argument with someone over politics, we always find some common ground. You know, whether it's, yeah, I know you're frustrated. Well, I don't see anyone on the left going ballistic and berserk when people are being told they can't wear an American shirt to school because it's going to offend somebody. I don't see, and if there is, I would love to see it. That'd be great. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I just haven't seen it. You know, this is an opinion show. This is my opinion. This is my conversation. If you want to join in and put, I hope half my audience disagrees with me. If they're not, then I'm doing something wrong because I'm not getting a wide audience. I'm not getting a wide group of people. I'm not getting people that, because if the debt ceiling keeps rising and rising and rising, why is that? Because Republicans and Democrats both want to eliminate and cut spending. Spending is spending is spending. It doesn't matter if you're spending it on a war or a vacation. Spending is spending. So you can't say, well, George Bush spent on this, but Barack Obama did that. You know, Barack Obama said in 2006, it's fiscally responsible to spend. So if it's fiscally, he didn't say what is fiscally responsible. He just said it's fiscally responsible to spend, period. He didn't say, well, this is good spending and that's bad spending. He said spending it all is bad. It's fiscally irresponsible. But what you do as soon as you come into the White House, we need to have stimulus bill on top of stimulus bill. We need to spend to spend. We need to have a spending bill of the spending bill by the spending bill. But when you vote someone based on give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to be paying out the butt. Because who is the government? You are. So when they spend, who's paying for it? You are, in your taxes. Like my taxes. I owe a dollar. I'm going to have to spend money to pay $1 in taxes. It's like, I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago on my show where I won some lawsuit with the class action lawsuit with the DMV and I got like a 39-cent check. I haven't cashed it. It's going to cost me more to cash it than I'll get. It's ridiculous. But, and I'm going to tie it into this because I remember I was helping one of my friends out, Pascal. He's from Togo, Africa. A really good friend of mine. His wife still works where I knew him. And people always make fun of us because we always talk to each other in French. And some people are like, excuse me, I'm like, and I finally went up to this girl. I said, anything you want to know, I will tell you whatever we're saying. I'll help you. Anything you want to know when we're speaking, anything you want to know what we said, I'll tell you. I don't want you to feel like we're speaking behind your back. Her first language is French, and I know a lot of French, so that's why we do that. It's more comfortable for her. And she was okay, and when I explained it to her, she was, you know, and he's a great guy. We were at this house, and he was having a habitat house built and helping him out, and because I seem to help and do for everybody. But I was helping him out, and this guy's like, well, you know, I'm Catholic. Why are you Catholic? And yeah, 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 and all this stuff. And he goes, well, if you believe in your heart, bless up your mouth, you know, if you want, I can pray for you so you can be saved and all. So I'm like, you know, we need to come together as what we believe as Methodists, as Protestants, as Catholics, as Baptists, you know, as Roman Catholics, as Russian Orthodox and Greek Orthodox and all these, we need to come together more on what we believe instead of, well, you don't really believe in God. See, you're a Baptist and, you know, that's, you know. But I'm like, and we got into this argument with they don't like to argue about religion, but I'm like, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, but you shouldn't drink. Okay, well, where did it say in the Bible that Jesus drank? And I said, well, I don't remember reading in the Bible where it said Jesus went to the bathroom, but I'm sure he had to take a piss. I'm just saying. We need to come together, and I always look for things that I can tell left, people on the left, even people on the right, that how you cannot agree with my statement. How, if you find someone on the left that thinks that people should take an American flag down because it's going to offend some religion, that's scary. I'm sorry, but that's just scary to me. You know, and try to find common ground, because I love some of my friends to death, and we get in fights politically, they'll usually say something that's so common ground that, like, yeah. You know, like Heather, I love her to death. I would do anything for her and her two kids. If they needed a heart transplant, I'd give, I'm like the giving tree. And I get myself in trouble a lot, just me, because I try to do too much for too many people. I can't say no. I'm one of these people, if I can be there for you, even if it's okay, let's go to the meditation room and pray. Let's do this. I've taken Tammy in there many a times, and I remember one time she was going off and all this stuff, and I'm like, and she pulled me into the meditation room, and she goes, I just got to apologize. I'm really sorry. It's not about the money. It's not, you know, you will not even have to bat an eye, and you will have clothes for 2 weeks to stay at your job to take care of these residents. I said, because that's what we're there for. You know, I'm not there at that job for the money. Let me tell you, I don't make hardly anything. I'm there because I love those residents, and some of them I've known 8 years, and many of them I've known way longer than that. And it's just a passion of mine. And there you learn to be with many, many different people from many different walks of life and beliefs. And I just wish we would try to be like a Martin Luther King and try to bring ourselves together instead of trying to be like an Al Sharpton that I feel tries to put a divide between this nation. Now I want to switch kind of gears and go into forgiveness. It's a rough subject. Forgiveness. I mean, I'm talking about this. I know somebody, don't mention names, but their son killed their dad, and it's been the topic of discussion, and the son has recently died, and it's one thing, it all depends on circumstances. Would Jesus have forgiven that person? Yes, he would have. I think he would. You can say what you want, but you got to be there. You got to be there. I believe you have to be there. It doesn't matter the circumstances. You know, if we all knew what everyone was going through, this world would be a way different place. And I've had to forgive some people in my life that wronged me. And how can someone do something so horrific to you and you forgive them? It's just my nature. You know, it's just the kind of guy I am. Do I get mean? Oh, I can be very mean. I can be, you push my buttons right, I can be very mean. But it takes a lot for you to push my buttons because I don't like to be mean. It's not my nature. they were talking yesterday at work about fighting and this and that. I'm like, I never really fought. You know? When I was in school, everyone made fun of everyone. There was no, everybody bullied everyone, but at the same time, most of the people would have had your back. You know? And that's why it's hard to see these bully, you know, these kids that invite someone over and then beat the crap out of them. Human beings, folks. We're all human beings. You know, taking, like, I went up to Malcolm one day. He's a good friend of mine, and I'll give him heck because I don't like Rascal Flatts. I dislike them, you know. But I always go, you know, Life of the Highway, their version's horrible. Tom Cochran's is way better and all this stuff. And I give him a hard time, and I said, you want to know what? Take an x-ray of, like, 10 people. What's the difference? There isn't any. And he goes, that you're more right than you know. And it's like, you know, granted, go back about, if aliens landed on this planet, they would try to round up all the different races. They would go to Michael Jackson. Dang it! He got here first! But, I mean, but seriously, if aliens came down to this planet, wouldn't we be more unified as a whole? Wouldn't our differences shrink if we were told that we're not the only civilization on Earth, which I believe we're not? I believe there's more than just humans in this world. I believe we're not alone. I believe in extraterrestrials. But, you know, why can't we forgive and forget and move on with the things? I'm going to leave you with this segment with, got about a little over 7 minutes left in the show, and if you ever saw the movie Invicta, I love that movie. It was one of those games where, with that movie, because I love rugby, and I watch it when I can, and I went to Paris for the 2007 Rugby World Cup, so it was incredible. But as soon as I got back here, you could barely hear, find out anything about it. I've actually tried to find the U.S. rugby team's playing right now. And you can't even get them on TV. But one of the quotes from the movie, which is something that one of the football players actually asked, and it's my segment with forgiveness, I'll leave it with this. How do you spend 30 years and a tiny cell and come out ready to forgive the people who put you there? Just think about that. 30 years in a cell only to come out to forgive the people who put him there. You know what my buddy Malcolm said, my brethren from work? He goes, that's a man of God. And it is. He is. Was Nelson Mandela perfect? No. He wasn't perfect, but he was a great man. Now we're going to the segment I left for last, the NCAA basketball games. Oh, Lord. UConn, men and women both won the games. I didn't like either team per se, but I wanted Kentucky to win. Because, guess what? They beat Wisconsin. I can say, at least Wisconsin, a Big Ten team, lost to the national champs. But that didn't happen. And the game last night was horrible. Notre Dame, they looked like deer in headlights. They couldn't do anything. It reminds me of that Alabama-Notre Dame national championship football game where Notre Dame, I think it was penalties that they had. Like, they had more, I think, penalties or something like in the first quarter than they had the whole season. They just couldn't do anything. And I said it like this. Because my friend goes, oh, it was a great game. No, it wasn't. It was horrible. Not if you're an Alabama fan. Like, how was that a great game? I guarantee you no one watched it. Everyone turned it off. Ratings are probably horrible. I look at it like this. It was one of those, like, okay, it's not even a close game. It's not even worth watching. But Alabama had been to that national championship so many times, it was no big deal. None of the people in Notre Dame's team had ever been there. And, you know, it's like, we're in the net, you know. I always look at this quote from Hoosiers, it's so true. Scott, put all that on your shoulders. 10 feet. Put the measuring tape under the rim, go to 15 feet. I think you'll find these measurements as the exact same as our gym back in Hickory. You know? Yeah, you might be on the national stage, and I'd probably be having butterflies. But you know what? The game is the same. Three throw line is the same distance. The basket's the same height. The three-point line's the same. Like they asked Carolyn Peck, who won the national championship in 99 with Purdue. How she calmed her nerves. And she goes, you know, combing and drying my hair calmed my nerves. And if you saw how big my hair was, because I left probably the curls on way too long and dried it too long, because she was so nervous, you know. But it wasn't even a game last night. The closest Notre Dame got was by 7 points. And then I think they went like 8 minutes in the second half. The first 8 minutes only scoring 4 points. They couldn't do anything. They looked like a deer in headlights, and the one lady that was interviewed, the one Notre Dame player, she was like going like 100 miles an hour speaking. And she is, I mean, it's going to be one of those, like, by the time it's over, like, did we play? Oh, you know. So it's just one of those things that, wow. I wish it was for ratings' sake. Even if we had our best player, Notre Dame, that had the ACL tear, the one announcer said they believe UConn still would have won. Just would have been a closer game. Because I told the guy at work, I said, if Notre Dame played like they had all season, that game against Alabama would have been a better game. They might not have won the game, but it would have been at least an interesting game. They would have kept it interesting. You know, even if we had our star player, Notre Dame last night, out from the torn ACL, I think it might have been a better game. I don't know. It would have stunk if it would have been a close game, but we lost. You know, to where it's like, well, they never were really going to win the game, but it was a close game. You know, I'd rather have a 50-point deficit and lose than lose by, like, 4 points, but never really win. You know, like you get within four and they get the lead to 10. And when you get it down to four again, they get it to 8. You know, when you get it down to four, the deficit, then they bring it back to 10. You know, to where you would get close, but you're never going to win. I got a minute left in the show, but it just stuck because I was so looking forward to seeing a great game and, you know, with like 2 minutes left, having 5 timeouts and have it last for like an hour, you know. But I mean, UConn's a great team. They are. He's one of, you know, they have a great program. They do, bottom line. So, it's been a wonderful show. Glad to have all you listening to the conversation. You know, just kind of think about my talking points. You know, think about things you can say to bring people together, you know. And just kind of think about this one point. How do you spend 30 years in a tiny cell only to forgive the people who put you there?